Will Ryan Poles draft Braxton Jones replacement with pick number 10? Let's talk about it.
Bend over to your right.
What the f- was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, Bears fans, and welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment on this show, and if you're somebody that listens in the audio world, well, appreciate you too. Make sure to also subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. I'm on all those different platforms, and I've been seeing the downloads kind of increase there. I want to see the subscribers continue to go up as well, but you guys have been awesome. With the YouTube channel, I've been constantly growing. So I appreciate each and every one of you. All right, everybody. Like, I think we need to have a discussion. We need to have a in-depth, beneficial, you know, just a good discussion about this topic for today's show. And that's whether or not Ryan Poles is going to draft an offensive tackle with a 10th overall pick. And what I did this morning, I was just going back and just reading, watching, and listening to Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson's comments from the NFL owners meetings with the, you know, the Bears media that's over there. And shout out to Fox 32 Chicago for, you know, putting up the 14-minute videos of Ben Johnson's you know, media availability and also Ryan Poles, because I think there are some really good things in there. The audio sounded great. It was, you know, just for people who weren't there, like myself, a lot of people here who are watching the show and don't obviously get access to those types of things. It was nice to hear what those two had to say. And I want to start this conversation with a question, and shout out to Kevin Fishbane, The Athletic. He asked Ryan Poles this question, you guys, and I want to go through it, talk about it with you, and I want to hear, you know, put your opinion in the comments, because I think this was, I thought, insightful for me hearing it for the first time, but also kind of picking it apart, and maybe I'm doing too much of that, but I just, let's discuss it. So Kevin Fishbane yesterday asked Ryan Poles, this is how he kind of paraphrasing the question a little bit here. So you had former first round picks that Ryan Poles selected have been players where he needed to start. How does that change now, given the roster, when it comes to the 10th overall pick and when you might already have a starter at that position? This is what Ryan Poles said. I'll read the full quote, then we'll talk about it. You're looking at it multiple ways. One, it's like short-term, long-term thinking. Two, it is, you know, there's certain positions like the premium ones where it's not guaranteed you're going to be in a spot to get one of those players. So if we end up with a surplus, then let's just figure it out after that and compete, and the best guy wins. If someone, a young guy, has to wait, then he has to wait. Or other things could happen, where the guys that are currently in those spots get opportunities for other teams. So there's a lot of different options that could pop up. All right, you guys, that right there, when I listened and watched Ryan Poles say that, I'm like, whoa, surplus, premium positions, have guys compete and the best guy wins. I'm going to be completely honest. The first position group that entered my mind, and there's more, was offensive tackle. It was offensive tackle. I mean, to say that, here, actually, we'll kind of dissect it a little bit here. When he says two, it's, you know, there's certain positions like the premium ones where it's not guaranteed you're going to be in a spot to get one of those players. Does Ryan Poles mean they're at pick 10, they're not going to be in a position to select premium picks, or does it mean that they won't be in a position to pick in the top 10, right? Like, I don't know if you guys listening to that or watching it, you know, thought that, but that entered my mind. Is he thinking like the position group is just not going to be there at 10, or that the Bears are not going to be selecting there at 10, given how much the team has improved this offseason and where it should project to go? Could be either one. And then after that, if we end up with a surplus, then let's just figure it out after that and compete, and the best guy wins. That, I think, is telling. Okay. I mean, to me, that sounds like Ryan Poles isn't afraid to go, or not even afraid, won't have hesitation to draft a position group that he already knows he has starters at, or guys that could potentially be starters. Again, Braxton Jones has been the starter at left tackle. Last year, Ryan Poles drafted Kurron Amagaji in the third round. And just the fact that Ryan Poles drafted Kurron maybe tells you a little bit of what he thinks of Kurron Amagaji, but also maybe where he views Braxton Jones, right? So I think that was telling of just how, you know, they're viewing this position. Let the guys compete and best guy wins. Maybe that's a rookie number 10 overall pick. Maybe that's somebody in the second round as well. Like, let's not rule that at 39 or 41. Right? It could be either one of those. But I just think listening to that quote in itself, man, tackle to me, tackle's always been on the board. Offensive tackle's always been, I think, a position that could be drafted at number 10. And even more so now, but it's always been there for me. So, I don't know, maybe for people who are like Ashton Jeanty, Tyler Warren, edge rusher, still all within the realm of possibility. I'm going to be completely honest there too. But I think those are just strong words. And then the next question that was asked right after he, you know, gives that quote about the offensive tackle position, how it can play out surplus, premium positions, and also really quickly, premium positions. If you're looking at it, the very standard way of looking at it, I mean, tight end isn't a premium position. Running back isn't a premium position. But we also, you know, hearing some of the quotes that even how Ben Johnson views, how he viewed Jahmyr Gibbs. He wasn't a running back. He was a weapon. So maybe there's just different values of how teams look at things. But really quickly, the next question that was asked kind of built off of that. So with that mentality that Ryan Poles has, how he views it, the question was like, how do you take that view with the left tackle position and factor in Braxton Jones, his injury, his contract? The first thing that Ryan Poles mentions when he's asked about specifically Braxton Jones, he throws in Kurron Amagaji. He talks about Kurron Amagaji. And Ryan Poles, paraphrasing here, you know, thinks really highly of him. Mentions the Washington game, you know, being that spot start there. Tough spot. He also mentioned tough spot in Minnesota. And competition will make the best out of both those guys. And so he's going to weigh that on the top of who's best available in the draft. And, you know, it makes things a little complicated. He says if there's a, you know, three deep in that space, you know, he's kind of like putting it out there. Like if there's three, meaning a rookie is being drafted, you have to factor in things like, is this rookie going to make the team better in year one, year two, year three, when talking about a rookie left tackle? I don't know, guys. Like, I just, at this point in time, I'm not going to rule out an offensive tackle. And obviously, we got to see how the first 9 picks go. If there's any trades that maybe have, who knows? Who knows at this point? Nobody does. But I think that was just telling of how maybe Ryan Poles, this Bears coaching staff, are looking at, you know, this draft. And it, you know what seems to be the consensus, though? Something that seems pretty... I don't know, definitive, I guess maybe it's a little too strong of a word, but the blue chippers, like, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of those guys. And here, I'm going to make sure I find the exact quote here, just from Ryan Poles, because he was asked about that. It's just how many guys are there and where he feels like the strength of the draft is at this point. Here we go. He was asked basically a question. You have a collection of 4 picks on day 1 and day 2 there. And what can you get done? And Ryan Poles was like, basically saying that you could start piecing their board together now with the information they've gained at the Senior Bowl, at the NFL Scouting Combine, Pro Days. You can start piecing your board together. Like, again, with information, medicals, what you've learned about the players off the field as well as obviously on the field. But you can, he also said you can look at the draft where you can take best available. So this is where it gets a little not contradictory, but the best available player at 10 could be an Ashton Jeanty. It could be a Tyler Warren and not necessarily a tackle that he wants to draft. But he said the top blues, they're condensed early in round one. Not many, but there's a wide range. This is from Ryan Poles of starting level players through range 50, 60, and 70. They have 39, they have 41, and 72 in the third round. So, you know what, too, like, really, like, I don't think this was ever really in the possibility for the Bears, but trading up just seems like the most unlikely thing. That would be my watch telling me a notification. Yeah, it seems the most unlikely scenario. But trading back, I think, is definitely in the realm of possibility. It's just, you got to have that trade partner. If there is an opportunity for, I think, Ryan Poles to trade back, if he doesn't find one of those blue chip prospects at 10, like, I think you do it. I think that is definitely within the realm of possibility for him, especially given like where they have identified the strength of this draft. And I'm sure 31 other teams have as well, right? Let's be honest. But I think that was telling there. To kind of continue the Braxton Jones conversation, because Ben Johnson was also asked about this. I think it was Scott Bear from Marquee Sports that asked about Braxton Jones, the health, you know, the health update, and can he see Braxton Jones playing left tackle in Ben Johnson's offense? I'm going to get to the comments in just a sec. Looking at the camera here, I see something, but really quickly, what Ben Johnson had to say on Braxton Jones. He thinks he's on track. Probably will be limited in training camp. And then what he wants to see out of tackles. Like, tackles, most importantly, need to be able to pass protect. He said Braxton Jones has the feet to get that done. Will challenge Braxton to gain some more weight to anchor in pass pro. Also called him a phenomenal athlete we can work with. So you see those words. And then, you know, there's also, you know, Ben Johnson, you know, in interviews was asked about, like, arm length, and really they look at the feet, man. You look at the tape and you look at the feet, and that's probably what you're going to be more so focusing on than the physical arm length. I'm sure, though, like, teams look at that as well. They have to, let's be completely honest. But glowing comments about Braxton Jones, but you're not going to dog the guy in an interview. But I think even, you know, what came out yesterday, Braxton, with Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles, they seem, I think, you know, when asked about, like, players like DeAndre Swift, Ryan Poles was, you know, thinking that he can still do, he still sees a lot of good things in Swift. And especially with the new revamped interior offensive line where he's going to be at his best. He referenced, like, the time in Philadelphia. Obviously, he had a good line in place, but he also mentioned, like, with Eric Bieniemy in that room, landmarks, little details, it'll be on point. Things will get corrected. So, kind of showing, like, hey, when now that we have, like, maybe the coaches in place to enforce that accountability, players will be right themselves. All right, real quick, you guys, I'm looking at these comments really quick. Just want to make sure I'm caught up with everything here, because I think I saw a comment like, Nick's gonna look at this like, what the hell is going on? Ain't going to look back at the conversation and be like, WTF? Nick going to look back at this conversation? What is going on in the conversation? I don't know. You somebody paraphrase for me. Wrap it up and let me know what's going on in the conversation. Two, like, I see one comment in here. Where's the Tyler Warren comment? It feels like, Darius, it feels like we might be zoning in on Warren. I think we take Warren at 10 before alignment. I mean, it could be a possibility. I had my video on that. I don't know if that's the move I quite make, but I see. You know, actually, here we go. I'm going to make the case for Warren, Tyler Warren here. Ryan Poles was asked a question about how he... Oh, he was asked, like, is Ben Johnson, like, passionate about one position over the other? Have you noticed that yet? And Ryan Poles said we see things similarly, especially on offense. And he mentioned, like, Ben has a creative mind, and when looking at particular players, how to use them in creative ways. You know, I know Ben Johnson had some comments about, like, Tyler Warren and, you know, all the things he can do. Like, I felt like when creativity was brought up in either Poles or Johnson, it automatically brought me to a guy like Tyler Warren. I mean, that's a guy that, you know, caught over 1,000 yards last season for Penn State, but also was lined up as an H-back in the backfield. I mean, I'm pretty sure he, like, I know I've seen him, like, throw passes as well. Like, creativity. Tyler Warren. Like, that's how I view those two. Like, if I think of that word with Ben Johnson and these draft picks, yeah, I think Tyler Warren is the first guy that comes to mind there. And that's why, you know, if he is the pick at 10, like, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm just saying, for me, and who cares, you know, maybe who cares what I think, but I don't know if that's the right pick for me if I was if I was polled in that situation. Especially, like, if you had to ask me, do you want Ashton Jeanty or Tyler Warren? I'm going to go Ashton Jeanty first. And I don't know. I just want the guy that's going to have, like, probably 250 plus carries as opposed to Tyler Warren, who I don't know where he's going to end up in his rookie season. It's not going to be Brock Bowers. I can tell you that in terms of the receptions. Like, how many other playmakers did the Raiders have last season? Like, there was a reason why they kept going to Brock. One, he's really damn good, but there wasn't as much talent around him. You have DJ Moore. You have Roma Dunze. You have Cole Kmet. You have DeAndre Swift. You just signed Olamide Zaccheaus, whatever Devin DuVernay is going to contribute to his offense. So the opportunities for receptions are going to be down for Tyler Warren. But that doesn't mean he's not also opening things up for other guys. So I don't know. For me, if I had to pick between the two, it would be Ashton Jeanty, because I know he's going to get the carries. I know he's going to have the impact. And I know that Tyler Warren would too. But man, reading and going through these comments yesterday, it just has me thinking. It really does. And this is, you know, publicly to the media, is that exactly what these guys are thinking internally within themselves? I'm pretty sure there's some of those questions that are being, you know, asked that they're like, we're not going to really get, we can't give it to, you know, we can't give you everything, right? We got to hold our cards to our chest a little bit. So it'll be fascinating. I've heard Loveland is a better pass catcher, from Darius Morgan here. Loveland is, he runs routes like a wide receiver. Like, he does. Like, if you've seen him run some of those little pivot routes where he has, you know, he's breaking in and then breaks back out, you're like, damn, wait, that's a tight end? It's impressive, man. And I know guys like Todd McShay have talked about, you know, like him and Tyler Warren. I think it's just different flavors, right? Just a little bit of, you know, how one player approaches their game and the body types. Like, Loveland would be closer to, you know, I think the Brock Bowers type, where Warren would be more, I don't know, like you'd say like a Gronk, like that Y tight end, right? So I just don't know. Again, those are all factors I think Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham have to all consider as they're making their picks. And who was it that said it yesterday? I was driving and listening to ESPN 1000. Or was it, man, I'm trying to, Tom Waddle, he was talking about this. Like, would Tyler Warren be almost a little identical to a Cole Kmet? Do you know what I mean? With the two wide tight ends? Like, they're both Ys. They're both wide tight ends. Is that too identical to have both those types of players? And, you know, I think, to me, if you draft Tyler Warren, like, it's signifying pretty much, I would think, the end of Cole Kmet in his time in Chicago. Like, he has a guaranteed money this year, but I'm pretty sure after this, it's like, not as much, or not even, you know, it's not as much as it would be obviously in years past. So I don't know, just think, guys, things to think about as we're talking about number 10. Ugh, man, I need this draft to get here. Not because I just want to like silence the discussion about all of this, because I think it is fascinating, but there's just so many different options here. So many different options. Wow. Okay. I've already been talking for 20 minutes here. So I think that's a good time, right? A good time to get to some ad breaks. Actually, before we do, maybe just looking at the comments one last time here, just to make sure I'm not missing anything. Yeah, look, we have J2K here in the chat. Loveland is explosive in and out of his breaks. His jump ball and attacking the high point is really special. I agree with you, man. Like, that's what I'm seeing on tape too. He has a coiled spring to him and out jumps everyone. He's a pure hands catcher too. Look, J2K. I mean, I'm seeing what you're seeing with Loveland. And you know, I know there's like some people within the league that just based off reading, you know, some comments and articles like that, see, like Tyler Warren, not even as tight end one, and it's probably Loveland would be in that spot. So I see what you're saying. And Darius Morgan also sees what I'm saying about Kmet and Warren. Doesn't mean he can't take Warren, but I'm just, you know, just kind of saying there. All right, guys, let's really quickly go to our first break, and then we'll get to some of these other comments that were, you know, obviously said at the owner's meeting in Palm Beach, Florida. I am so envious of everyone down there. It looks great. Like, I don't know, if you're in the Chicagoland area, the wind is howling. The wind is freaking howling. I tried taking the dog out for a walk too. It was drizzling, you know, just a slight drizzle. And then it just started coming down. I'm like, oh, dude. And my dog hates rain. He's just one of those, just not a rain guy. But that's beside the point. But I wish I was in Palm Beach, Florida at the owners' meetings next time, next year. All right, let's get to our first break though, because I have to tell everybody about Windy City Sports Cards, you guys. And at Windy City Sports Cards, they specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. Whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to their Chicago-focused items, they also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. Visit their online store today to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or to discover a new favorite. You can check them out at 312-WindyCitySports.com. That's 312-WindyCitySports.com. All right, everybody. And now I got to tell you about, you know, our new sponsor here, and that would be Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville. It's the one-stop shop for all your needs. And what I mean by that is sales, service, parts, and body shop is all available at Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, located on 1050 South Milwaukee Avenue in Libertyville, Illinois. The team prides themselves on their service, winning Dealership of the Year twice, you guys. So check out their website at NapletonCadillacLibertyville.com to see all their new and pre-owned vehicles, including the new EV Cadillac Lyric, beautiful-looking vehicle. Also, subscribe to their YouTube channel to view more of their vehicles, which you can find in the description below. Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, your one-stop shop for all your needs.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, you guys, this is the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. We're going over, you know, just some of the quotes, comments that Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles made to reporters yesterday at the NFL owners meetings there in Palm Beach, Florida. And I think one thing that I do, you know, still want to get to is just, you know, Ben Johnson's approach to this playbook, the offensive philosophy, how they're kind of, you know, how they're going about this, because they aren't just bringing Detroit's playbook and saying, here you go, Bears players, this is what we're going to do. No, as we all know, back at the introductory press conference back in January, that wasn't going to be what is going to happen for this Bears team, this Bears playbook. But what it's starting with is just getting everyone on the same page, terminology-wise. This is according to Ben Johnson when asked about it. And learning the staples. You're learning the staples in Detroit. What do they like running? What do they like doing? Where do they like lining up? Play action. St. Brown on that deep 20-yard dig in the middle. Like the staples of the offense. And Declan Doyle, the Bears' offensive coordinator, he's been leading that charge. Because Ben Johnson hasn't, as he said, he hasn't been present for every little thing. So you have a guy like Declan Doyle who's, you know, locked in, going through the film and studying it and relaying this to the other offensive coaches. And once Ben Johnson gets there, he's looking forward to not only having more of those discussions with his staff, but also evolving the scheme for their specific players. So that's where it starts for, you know, the Bears and their offenses are building and trying to construct their version of Ben Johnson's system here in Chicago. Also, too, you know, Ben Johnson had some, I think, insightful quotes about like Caleb's skill set and if anything really has to change there. And, you know, Ben Johnson said there's nothing that needs to be undone, really. But there are things that they're going to encourage, for the quote, he said, we're going to encourage that he looks to do a little bit differently. He's been predominantly a shotgun quarterback for most of his high school and college career. And so he's very comfortable there. We're going to work to see the comfort level under center and how much of that applies. Ben Johnson also goes on to say, like, we've had a lot of success where I was last, that going under center for the run game did translate in play action. Whether that works for us, Chicago, time will tell, right? But there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. That's the beauty about this coaching staff is we have a lot of different influences from a lot of different systems that will be able to bring together a good product. And that, I mean, that makes so much sense. You know, I did an episode not too long ago, just kind of going through some of the stats from last season, and I highlighted the discrepancy from Jared Goff in play action and the success he had compared to Caleb Williams and the play action and the lack of success or just the lack of yardage and plays that he had. There's a huge discrepancy there. So I think this play action is going to be essential for Caleb Williams to understand and, you know, work to perfection. And guys, it's the little things too with play action where you're turning the ball to the defense, right? And it's just the fake itself, right? Really putting that ball out there to fake like you're going to give it to the running back and tuck it into the body. It's like when you do some of these half-ass ones, it's like as a defensive player, even as people just, if you're watching from home, it's like, yep, he kind of barely did that. That's not fooling anybody. It's the presentation that it looked like it could be a run. And it's like those little details, I think, are what Jared Goff really excelled at. You know, when you think about that stumble, bumble, whatever the hell play that Ben Johnson ran against the Bears. It is the fake. Almost going to fall down. Jahmyr Gibbs selling it. And then you get the wide open touchdown to Sam Laporta on the corner route. The little details is going to be huge for things like the play action game, for things like Caleb Williams to move the defense and move the linebackers a little bit so that you could attack the middle of the field. But it's also with Ben Johnson, it's like whether that works for us in Chicago, time will tell, right? And I think that's where we're talking about That's a staple, right? I said that was a staple in Detroit's offense, that part of it, the play action game. Will it work in Chicago, though? Time will tell, as Ben Johnson said. But that is something they're going to work through and see if they can get it right. And if you do that, I think that's going to open some things up for DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet in the middle of the field. Like, we need to – I'm really curious. I'm excited to see that part of the Bears' passing game be more prominent in 2025. Was not there. Was not there last year, but we'll see how it goes. Oh, really quickly, I got to give a shout out to my guy, Keith Herrera. Made it on live, Nick. Hope Tyler Scott gets his chance and looks this season. Slot. I hope we see Tyler Scott too. Like, he didn't get his opportunities. Obviously didn't get his opportunities. I think he had, if I'm not mistaken, one catch last season for 5 yards. Is that right? It might be. But yeah, I think we should see some more Tyler Scott there. Here's an important one too. Ben Johnson was asked about Caleb Williams and the sack number 68, far, far too high, right? How to get Caleb, get that sack number down and in the question, like, you know, Caleb also acknowledged, like, he played a part in that. Like, he was, not shying away from that in that number. But Ben Johnson, first thing it says, it takes a village, which I agree. It does take a village. It's not just on Caleb, but he said, I don't know what the number was in terms of seconds that he held onto the ball before releasing it, but we certainly like to bring that number down, Johnson said. Part of that is how well we can scheme number one and number two in the progression open for him. The protection up front can get better. The route runners can get to their spots faster. We can move the pocket a little more. There's a lot of things that we have at our disposal that can help with that process. Going back to what Ben Johnson said at the very top, it takes a village. It takes a scheming from Ben Johnson to get guys open. It's going to take better protection from the O-line up front. The route runners can get to their spots faster. We can move the pocket. Like, you know, even I have a tendency to do this. Like, you automatically want to almost put everything on Caleb. He's the quarterback, the most important position in all sports, the quarterback. But all these other players, coaches, need to do their respective jobs as well to make sure that the sacks do go down. And having, I think, that's why I was so fixated on wanting to get a veteran center for Caleb Williams as opposed to maybe them looking in the draft, and they did that by signing Drew Dahlman in free agency. Like, he's going to help Caleb Williams at the line of scrimmage. He's going to take some of those responsibilities and just make it easier for Caleb to identify the defense, you know, what's going to be available to him so he doesn't hold the ball as long as he did last season and can just, you know, take some of these checkdowns, right? Like, that needs to be more a part of Caleb Williams' game this upcoming season. So if it's yards per, you know, attempt or down, who cares? You're staying ahead of the chains, keeping your offense out of those second and long, third and long situations. You're on the football field probably longer. You're having more offensive drives. And guess what? You're probably scoring more points. Do that. Do that in Chicago in 2025. And you're going to see a huge difference, man. Huge, huge difference. One last thing from Ben Johnson, then we'll kind of get to these last comments from Ryan Poles. He was asked about Tyrique Stevenson. Ben Johnson was. And I don't know, you know, earlier when I was talking about, like, when he was mentioning Braxton Jones, you know, he has the feet, phenomenal athlete, you know, someone that we're looking forward to, we can work with in this offense. Tyrique Stevenson, Ben Johnson said, young player, still growing, athletic traits, you see the potential. Really encouraged after having conversations with him on the phone. He was asked, were any of those conversations about the Hail Mary? He said very little, but that conversation was about that play. Almost like there's still something to prove. And I agree with that. There definitely is more to prove with Tyrique Stevenson, because not many teams were testing Jalen Johnson, so they knew that they had to go If you're going to test one of these guys on the outside, you're testing 2-9, Tyreek Stevenson. Also, what's going to maybe help out Tyreek is that in this defense, you know, that's something that maybe Dennis Allen's talked about, but Jalen's going to have this opportunity, I think, to travel with the opposing number one wide receivers. So, I don't know. When I think of one player that comes to mind that probably won't happen, it might still happen. But when Terry McLaurin caught that 6-yard pass in the Washington game, just a deep vertical down the left sideline, Tyreek Stevenson was in coverage, right? With Dennis Allen, and the Bears will play the Washington Commanders again this season in Washington, I would think Jalen Johnson, numero uno, is going to be over there. How does that help eliminate those big plays? And that allows Tyreek Stevenson to still have his competition with whoever the other wide receivers are, and it's not always going to be like that. Jalen Johnson's not always going to shadow. But I just think that, you know, that should help Tyreek. But there definitely, it feels like there's something more to prove for him going into year three. And after how, like, everything ended last season, I think it's fair to, question Tyreek. I think I've seen it a little bit just on Bears Twitter. Nothing from, any major, like, media entities or things like that. But, like, the idea that the Bears could potentially take a corner at 10, I absolutely don't think that's in the cards for them. I really don't. I don't care who's available there. I just don't think that's realistically there. But again, going back to the comments that Ryan Poles made, having a surplus at positions, maybe they do think a little bit differently. I just don't think that's what the Bears should do. I mean, what, Ryan Poles' first draft, he goes secondary, first two picks. I don't know how many other opportunities he's going to have to draft in the top 10. I don't know if that's another corner when you do have a guy like Tyreek Stevenson. You want to see what he can do in Dennis Allen's defense, hopefully with a better pass rush, and now having Jalen be someone that plays a little bit more shadowing the number one. I don't know. So, yeah, Darius Morgan. No way on corner at 10. I agree with you, man. I don't think so. Also, Darius, you're killing it with these comments. Thank you for, again, there's a lot of people in here, but I love the conversations you guys are even having amongst yourselves or, you know, with me. Like, I think Terrell Smith will be starting over Tyreek this season. I like Terrell Smith a lot. He got opportunities to play, man. Reliable. I think reliable out there. Didn't seem like any opportunity was too much. The moment was too much. Just went in there and played. Not a big talker by any means. Kind of the exact opposite of a Tyreek Stevenson. But yeah, like, I like Terrell Smith. So that's the thing. They do have an option there. Who has played in games when they've switched out with Tyreek and things like that. So it is that's a good position to have quality depth at. It truly is. Obviously a lot of positions, especially on the O-line as well. But yeah, I like Terrell. Definitely like Terrell. Let's get to really quickly Ryan Poles and just some of the comments he made to the media. Speaking of Dennis Allen really quick, he was asked about like the picture he's painting for this defense, what it kind of looks like. And that was kind of like the first time I know Ben Johnson was asked about, you know, Dennis Allen as well. But what Ryan Poles was saying, and I think he's made similar comments about the previous coaching staff, to be completely honest, but he said the communication with the coaches has been outstanding. So that's good because there is obviously a lot of new faces in that amongst the coaches, you know, Richard Hightower being one of the guys that has been retained. Obviously there's a few more, but for the most part, it's a very new coaching staff. But he wants an aggressive defense. That's what Ryan Poles said about Dennis Allen, especially from the defensive line. Not much two gapping. And Matt Eberflus was very much so wanting to create penetration. So that's not necessarily new, but that mentality will be there to be aggressive. And then when talking about the defense, Dennis Allen, he referenced these three words all back to back: speed, speed, and speed. That's with man coverage and getting to the ball. Yeah, nothing to, whoa, he said that? No. I mean, it all makes sense when it comes to, you know, I think with defense sometimes, you guys, I don't know about you, but when people talk about it, and maybe it depends on who you're listening to when you talk about it, but like it almost seems a little bit more standard. Like, we want aggressive guys. We want guys that are physical. We want speed. And then offense, you can get into like all these, I don't know, very detailed expected points added and like the quick feet. Like, I don't know. It kind of gets a little bit more detailed. And maybe that's just because Ben Johnson is a head coach and how his mind thinks, right? So could just be, you know, this circumstance. He was asked about Jaquan Brisker and if the Bears need depth behind him. So Ryan Poles was saying that Brisker, one, has been cleared. That's definitely not the right note. He also said that Jaquan Brisker, which I find awesome, he texts Ryan Poles all the time about the draft. Whenever he's texting, don't you dare draft a safety. Don't you take another safety, Ryan. But no, he said he texts him all the time, fired up about it. Like, honestly, hearing that doesn't surprise me at all. But Jaquan Brisker, we know he's on social media. We know he likes to, you know, engage with fans. So text about the draft all the time. And, you know, he was talking about, too, Ryan Poles, like his play style. Like, he has a physical playing style. We all know that. And I think that's why a lot of people, fans, also love Jaquan Brisker, of how he plays the game. And even the last hit that he put on the Carolina Panthers tight end that forced the fumble that the Bears recovered, like, Ryan Poles saw a aggressive player in Jaquan Brisker doing it the right way, right? It's not like he's leading with his head or anything like that. It's just like he did it the right way, but it just was unfortunate circumstances where he ends up with a concussion that ends his season, essentially. He did also say, though, that you do have to consider his health when thinking about this draft. So, I don't know if it's at 39 or 41 for a safety. Maybe round 372 could definitely be in the possibility. In my latest mock draft that I, you know, unveiled yesterday, I did have Andrew Mukuba being taken. He's more of a free safety, though. So that's to replace a guy like Kevin Byard, who's 32, entering last year of his contract. But I did have him getting another safety there in Jaquan Brisker, last year of his rookie contract. So definitely on the table, I think. Definitely on the table. Last three things here. Ryan Poles was asked about accountability. What does that need to look like going forward? Because that was mentioned by multiple players at the end of last season, just being in the locker room and talking to players. That needs to be addressed and fixed going into 2025. And what Ryan Poles was saying was being able to call out the things that are not up to the standard and address it immediately. That's the biggest part. Because I think that last year you called out things, but it was almost way too late. Like, when things are happening, and Ryan Poles, man, was it during the Thursday Night Football broadcast where something about training camp, there were things happening in training camp that didn't get addressed? This time around, if something's not happening, a player's not doing it, a coach is not, you know, coaching the right, those need to be stopped right then and there, talked about and addressed, so they do not continue persisting as the season continues. And he does believe that Ben Johnson will be good at doing that. So Ben being in this role as a head coach for the first time, that'll be something, you know, throughout the season, maybe even talking to players, like, regardless of how the season's going, like, how do you feel about the accountability? Do you feel like it's being held to that standard and being enforced and being addressed right when things are happening? Like, I do want to have those conversations with players as the season goes on, just to make sure that they're upholding to, you know, what they're saying publicly. I think that will also, you know, keep this locker room together, which it has been throughout the years with Flus. Obviously, things were trickling out here and there, but for the most part, I think it did stay together. Just players were voicing their opinions more because accountability wasn't being held. Two last things here. Teaching, Ryan Poles was asked about how to teach guys how to be leaders. Well, he mentioned, like, hey, you bring in a guy like Joe Tooney, Grady Jarrett, those are guys that have done it before, have been leaders, and can, again, show other guys how to do it. And the thing is, too, with those two players, they have been productive. And reliable throughout their entire NFL career. So when it's coming from players like Joe Tooney in terms of guidance or how to talk to the offensive line, or Grady Jarrett doing the same thing for the defensive line, there is this credibility to it. Like, yeah, I've been doing it. This is how, you know, you can benefit from just my experiences. So I do like that, you know, you bring in those guys, not only because they're good football players, but that's another added addition to what they can add to this football team. And then actually I just did a show before this, so I'm trying to even think. Did I mention DeAndre Swift already? Probably did. I think I probably did, but mention just again. I'm restating it. Sorry. But Eric Bieniemy, when you do a show by yourself, you're gonna repeat yourself at some point. But I think Eric Bieniemy is gonna be a huge, huge addition to that room to make sure DeAndre Swift is on his P's and Q's, knows what he needs to be doing, where he needs to be, little details. And Ryan Poles also believes just having a better interior offensive line will help DeAndre Swift and potentially whoever that next running back is. And actually, too, Ben Johnson, I mean, when talking about the running back position, how he views them, he said there's a lot of flavors to be had in this running back class and a lot of value on all days and even on drafted guys. And he's also curious to see what Bieniemy thinks about a lot of these guys. He said he like passes by him when he's been in the Hallis Hall and like Bieniemy will go up to him. Oh, man, I like this guy. Oh, I like this guy, too. I think you can have that conversation a lot on a lot of these running backs because there are plenty of guys that could fit what the Bears need and can add to the room. All right, everybody. I think that's going to quite wrap it up. I just want to, again, you know, get refreshed here from, you know, everything that happened yesterday. And honestly, too, as I'm kind of refreshing Twitter and like just looking at some of the comments here, I think the big thing, Kevin Warren spoke today earlier this morning. And actually, you know what? I retweeted, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. My guy, Herb Howard from the Bigs. You can follow him at Herb Howard 411. Do that. Good follow. You know, we do a show every Friday for the Bigs, but he said some key takeaways from this morning's media availability with Bears president / CEO Kevin Warren. One, and this is the big one, Arlington Heights has re-entered the chat, Herb Howard tweeted, as a potential site for the new stadium. Number two, the lakefront site remains a viable option. We'll see. The Michael Reese site, though unlikely, has been discussed. Four, still plan to have shovels in the ground in 2025. Let's get it going, Kevin. And then Arlington Heights elected a new mayor yesterday. While Kevin Warren spoke well of the previous mayor, he seemed optimistic about the new leadership. Good recap there from Herb Howard, but the Arlington Heights discussion. I've been, I don't know, advocating for Arlington Heights, you know, having moved there, lived there. It'd make my drive to Soldier Field 10 minutes when it gets built. But no. But honestly, it just makes the most sense. To be completely honest, what they can do with 326 acres of land, the possibility of the hotels, the restaurants, just having a whole Bears land, if you want to call it that, that's going to give the Bears, it's just a destination site, right? Like you can go all, you know, the whole entire calendar year, you can go visit there, you know, maybe February is the last month where the Bears can play football games if the Super Bowl ever gets held there because it'll be enclosed, but you still have so much around it. I'll just, you know, telling you just kind of going and experiencing some of these other modern stadiums and where they're built and what's around them. I want that for the Bears. I want that for you guys who will be going to these games, regardless if it's in Chicago or Arlington Heights. But if it's there to experience that, I think just creates those memorable experiences for you, your family, friends, Bears fans, football fans. Like that, I think it's going to be a really cool project once it's all said and done. And I do think that it's Arlington where it's going to end up being. And just the more and more they try with, you know, the lakefront, it seems like there's more and more obstacles there. I get it. Being in Chicago, the Chicago Bears, I understand, but there's just a lot more opportunity in Arlington Heights. And that's where I think when people really debate the two, I don't think you can quite say that the same opportunity can be built in Chicago than it can be in Arlington Heights. But yeah, that's, you know, I haven't seen too much else. I mean, I think I'm, you know, oh, actually really quickly, Courtney Cronin. I'm just going to read her tweet verbatim here. George McCaskey said the Chicago Bears voted in favor of the proposal to ban the tush push, which was tabled because of the 16-16 split of the teams that were for/against keeping the play. McCaskey said the Bears' vote was on the basis of, quote, health and safety. This is from McCaskey, a quote, I know they say that we don't have sufficient injury data on it, but to us it appears to be an inherently unsafe play. You know, I was giving the Green Bay Packers crap for, you know, proposing they wanted to ban. Now I have to give the Bears crap for this. I'm curious too, from the chat before we close things out, tush push, ban or not ban? Where are you at on this? To me, it just feels like, oh, and shout out to Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football NFL Network there. I think teams are just mad, especially if you're in the NFC, you want this to be banned because you have to go through the Eagles. And the Eagles have perfected the play. So if you want to get through them, you're going to have to go through that play. And the Bears, last time they played the Eagles, they ran a tush push successfully and scored a touchdown. I think that was at Soldier Field. So if it's not an injury thing, then like, what are you really trying to question here? Is it the fact that it's like, you can't stop it? And that's why you want to, you know, be not a thing anymore. I don't know. No ban. Imagine this. Like if the Bears were as successful as the Eagles at running that play and the league said, we want to ban it. How would you feel about that? Right? Like as Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, like, you know, he was asked about it a little bit and he didn't want to get too into his thoughts, but like, I'd be like, you're trying to take away, you know, the play that I perfected because I'm too damn good at it. Come on, man. I don't know about that. So it's, you know, obviously it's not a thing as of yet because of that 16-16 split, but if more and more teams are thinking along this line, then it might not be a thing anymore. Then you have to go a traditional QB sneak, potentially into your quarterback. Maybe more, hard collisions with the running back, getting a full head of steam. I don't know. I think those are things that, yeah, Kyle Brandt mentioned. I'm like, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So all things that probably will have to be in consideration as they keep going on, thinking about rule changes and how to potentially, you know, make the game a little bit more, I don't know, maybe that's also it too. Is it an exciting play? The tush push? I wouldn't call it exciting. It's kind of a slow paced rugby force on force type of play. So it, exciting wouldn't be the word. Like if you're, you know, a football fan and you appreciate all aspects of the game, then yeah, you're like, man, look how low the center got there. The movement that the tight end or running back was able to, you know, find the crease and find, you know, push the quarterback in there. Yeah, no, it can be exciting to some, but I think to the majority, probably not. But all right, guys, I said I was going to end the show a little bit earlier and I just kept going on a tangent, but that's going to do it for this episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. Appreciate everybody for tuning in, hanging out just on your Wednesday afternoon, but I'll be back most likely tomorrow. So make sure you tune in, like, subscribe, leave a comment on this show. And if you're an audio listener, hey, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, I'm there as well. Please leave subscribe and leave a comment. That'll help this channel grow and get out to more Bears fans. But everybody, have a great rest of your Wednesday. Try to stay indoors. It looks really crappy out here if you're in the Chicagoland area. But I'll talk to you guys not next week, tomorrow. We're going tomorrow. I believe we're going tomorrow. If you're subscribed, you'll know. Turn on the bell notification. All right. Adios, everybody. See ya.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.